Amen. Pastor Christopher is a mouthful, isn't it? Well, it is really good to be back here this morning. I always love being at Devonshire and seeing just like family faces. So it's good being back. This morning we're going to be in John chapter 15. Reading through the first 8 verses, and this is a text that I've preached on a couple of times before, but this is, I think, an area where the Lord has been encouraging me lately, specifically over the summer, this past summer, and just wanting to spend more time with Him, spending more time in prayer, just sitting in silence with Him, sitting in Scripture with Him. And so I want to encourage you in the same way that the Lord has encouraged me over the last couple of months. So we're going to be in John chapter 15, reading verses 1 through 8. And I'll be reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. So in this analogy, in this teaching that Jesus gives, there are three parties involved. There's first, Jesus, who is the true vine. Secondly, there is God, who is the vine dresser, the one who takes great joy in cultivating and protecting the vine. And then thirdly, there is all of humanity, which is represented by the branches. And so I think before we build a framework to identify if we ourselves are fruitful or unfruitful, it's going to be helpful to first address, like, what is good fruit? So if you could imagine just a piece of fruit, like an apple, in your mind, two things come to light. First, you have the substance of the fruit, and then you have, the outside part of it, and then the thing that you can't see is the thing on the inside, the seed of the fruit. And those two things really make up a piece of fruit. So first, let's look at the substance of what good fruit is. So when you're looking at that piece of fruit, you're seeing externally, are there blemishes? Is it internally, is it rotten? And so similar, we look to the follower of Jesus. What is the individual full of? What does their life look like? What does their life produce? So Paul in Galatians chapter 5 gives us a couple of different lists that help to identify the substance of any individual. He lists first what he calls the works of the flesh, which are sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, divisions, envy, drunkenness. The list goes on and on, and right, if you would see one of these characteristics in somebody's life, you could say, their life, the substance of their life looks to be pretty rotten, pretty blemished. So then Paul gives this alternative list, which he calls the fruit of the Spirit, which we know is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And the life of the believer, the one who follows actively after Jesus, the substance of ourselves will be known by the appearance of the fruit of the Spirit in each one of our lives. How we love God, how we treat others, and how we handle ourselves. The way the follower of Jesus improves their substance is through spending more time with Jesus. And this takes place in, I think, three dominant ways: prayer, Bible study, and then the third one is obedience to what the Holy Spirit is telling you through prayer and through Bible study. So there is a direct correlation between time spent with the Lord and evidence of the fruit of the Spirit in your life. So that's the substance. Secondly, we're going to look at the seed of good fruit. So all living things leave something behind in order to reproduce. In this analogy of the Christian life as fruit, we presuppose that the Christian is full of the seed of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus called Peter and Andrew to follow after Jesus, he called them to fish for men, being followers of Jesus who were reproducible, disciples who make disciples. And so when a Christian is full of good seed, there are younger believers who are always nearby. Seed is a singularly purposed product just to reproduce itself. So I'm a big hockey fan. I like watching the Pittsburgh Penguins. I love talking to other hockey fans. When I wake up in the morning, I don't set out to like make sure that I talk to somebody about the Penguins today. I don't think about that when I wake up. I just naturally get into conversations with people and I talk about the things that I'm passionate about. I love Jesus. I love what Jesus has done in my life. I love talking to other people about Jesus, telling others who don't yet know Jesus about Jesus, talking to people who actively follow Jesus about Jesus. I love sharing the gospel story of how I was once totally lost, totally in darkness, and how Jesus stepped into that situation in my life and totally transformed who I am today. When I wake up in the morning, it's not a thought on my mind that I need to share the gospel with somebody today. I just naturally talk about the things that I'm passionate about, and I get into these conversations about the things that I love. So good substance plus good seed equals good fruit. Follow along? A couple people. Okay, cool. You guys following? You tracking? So Jesus, in this teaching here in John 15, Jesus shows two different relationships that you can have to him. And I'll pose these in the form of a question. Are you attached as opposed to unattached? And then secondly, are you fruitful as opposed to unfruitful? For these two categories, there can be three possible combinations, okay? So in these camps, you have the unattached and unfruitful, the double negative. You can have the attached and unfruitful, so this one's split. And then you can have the attached and fruitful, the double positive. So you'll notice that of these categories, the one that doesn't exist is being unattached and fruitful. There's no such thing as being unattached to Christ and fruitful. So we're going to really dig down into these three categories. And my hope is to not cover a whole lot of ground, but really just kind of sink into what Jesus has taught here and what it means for your life. And so every individual who has ever lived can fit into one of these three categories, okay? So the unattached branch, we'll start with the unfruitful and unattached. The unattached branch is kind of out and off by itself, not abiding, not remaining in the vine, as Jesus says. And the truth here is pointed. There is no life and no fruit in life apart from Christ. just as a branch suspended out in midair or off, unattached from the vine, there is no life and there is no meaning to that life. And so a man on the earth without attachment to Christ likewise is lifeless and without purpose. Those who seek life and meaning someplace other than Christ are doomed to failure. The unattached branch is of and by itself, all alone on earth, and is doomed to be by itself. The unattached branch cannot bear fruit, at least not real and permanent fruit, according to Jesus. Fruit that is acceptable and pleasing to God. It cannot bear any good or righteousness that is acceptable to God. It cannot bear character that is acceptable to God. The unattached branch does not understand the nature of bearing fruit and being fruitful in life. The fact that he can do nothing apart from Christ. The unattached branch is cast to wither, and as Jesus says, to be gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. It is the choice of the man to be unattached. And so God lets it, right? It is the choice of the man to be unattached. And so God lets it. God lets it remain unattached and do what it pleases. Matthew 13, 49 and 50 explains the destination for the unattached, and these are Jesus' words. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a tragic destination for a choice to remain unattached to Christ, the true vine. So now we're going to transition into the double positive, the fruitful and the attached. Okay? So fruitful branches are pruned, is what Jesus says. All bad spots, useless buds, misdirected shoots, and discolored leaves are all pruned off of the attached branch. So even believers, faithful, healthy believers, have spots, buds, shoots, and leaves that are bad, useless, and misdirected. Believers have areas in their life that must be cleaned away, pruned away. Thoughts, attitudes, commitments, behaviors, relationships, service, passions in life, your motivation in life. All of these things need to be pruned from time to time. Or for me, all the time. Jesus says he prunes those who are bearing fruit. The purpose of pruning is onefold. It is to get these branches to produce more fruit. The purpose, though it might hurt, is not to punish or damage the branch, but rather to get the best possible fruit out of it. So I was reading an article last week, or 2 weeks ago, about a peach farm. And so the farmers would go out while the peaches were still very small, before they were ripe, even close to being ripe, and they would do some pruning so that the peaches would grow healthy and grow strong. So we're going to take a poll. What percentage of peaches do you think the farmers took off the tree while pruning? Okay, so four options. It's going to be 15%. 33%, 55%, or 70%. So hands raised if you think it's A, 15%. 15% of the peaches pruned off. Okay, a couple people. Who thinks B, 33%? That's one-third of the peaches. A lot of hands, 33%. Okay, C, 55%, over half the peaches. Okay, that's a lot. A lot of people thinking that too. And then D, 70%. Who thinks 70%? Well, if you have your hand up right now, you would be correct. 70%. Rich is like, yeah, I know. 70% of the peaches are being pruned off at the beginning of the season. Like, can you believe that? 70%. And so it takes 70% of pruning in order for you to get that beautiful peach on your kitchen table, like that sweet sugary goodness. 70%. And so I think if that is true of peaches, it's also going to be true in our own lives that it might be a lot more pruning in your life than you would originally think that needs to happen in order to bear what Jesus would qualify as good fruit, what he would see as good fruit. So the attached and the fruitful category, that is the measuring stick that Jesus gives to us. That's the standard that we want to reach. And so if we were to look at the day-to-day life of these people, what would we find? Well, first and foremost, we would find them abiding in Christ, right? Waking up and spending time with him. And this plays out in two ways, as I mentioned before, prayer and Bible study. But not just like morning prayer and Bible study, but having an attitude of prayer throughout the day, living in communication with the Lord like you would a close friend. These people crave that time in prayer with the Lord in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, throughout the night. Secondly, Bible study. The attached and the fruitful branches are always in the Word. Daily basis, they're in the Word. They have the Word flowing through their brain whenever they're not sitting down with Scripture. When they're talking with people, they have the Word going on in their head in order to speak life into other people. They read to better understand who God is, but I think this is important. They read to have intimacy with God. They want to be connected. They want to abide. They want to belong to God. And so God uses the Word as his pruning shearers in their lives. So when they recognize that their life isn't meshing up with what they're reading in here, it's time to think, oh, something's off. Something's got to change, right? So if you know, they're reading in Scripture, you know, Jesus says, I'm supposed to love my enemies. Wow, that's hard. But taking an honest look at my life, sometimes I get jealous of my friends who succeed. And so that's like totally separated from Scripture. So I need to make an adjustment. Like, if I can't love my friends well or my family well, gosh, I'm really falling short. So I need to repent and turn in obedience to what Scripture is saying. And so in that way, Scripture, God is using Scripture as pruning shears in the life of the obedient, abiding disciple. This daily intimate time with the Lord will start spilling out into every area of your life. The things you want to talk about are going to change. The way you interact with others is going to change. The way you interact with yourself, the way you think about yourself is going to change. This group is passionate about talking about Jesus. They share the gospel anytime the Holy Spirit allows opportunity in a conversation to do so. Sharing about the things that God has done in your own life that can be applied to the lives of other people that you're talking with. From this natural tendency of sharing the gospel, young disciples are sure to be nearby. People respond to this true gospel, and they have peace in their souls. They have joy in their hearts. They have a hope for today, tomorrow, and forevermore because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so that is the standard, right? That's what the life of the one who abides in Christ is to look like. So now we have our third category, the attached yet unfruitful. So verse 2 reads, every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So these branches, Jesus says, are in me, yet they bear no fruit. So what does that mean? Like, how could that happen? The unfruitful branches did become attached to Christ. They did have some organic relationship to him. There was a time when they began to to bud and sprout and even grew into branches. They listened to Jesus and to the gospel. They made a profession. They were baptized, seemed capable of bearing fruit, maybe even appeared to have fruitful branches. But their faith was more of a proclamation than a possession that they held dear to them, something that they maybe just socially identified with, as opposed to something that had changed themselves for forever, radically changed themselves. Jesus identifies this person well in the parable of the sower, right? In the four different soils that the seed fell onto. So Jesus says, the one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. So once upon a time, these people heard Jesus' call. They responded to him, maybe got baptized, maybe spent a considerable amount of time in church, but then were overwhelmed by life. Overwhelmed, as Jesus says, by the worries of life. That love for Christ also choked out by the love of wealth. Love for other things, love for idols, choking out love for Christ. So God gives a stiff warning, saying that he will cut off the unfruitful branches. In relation to the vine, the branch is first pruned. Let's see if pruning it back, it will begin to bear fruit. No? Okay, well, this branch then needs to be removed, Jesus says, and taken away. Meaning the unfruitful branches that sin are cut off and removed from the vine, and then destroyed by fire. The barren branch is the one whose encounter with God lasts for a day, a week, and then doesn't stretch much further than that. The unfruitful one has little to no prayer time with Jesus, maybe in the Word for a day or two throughout the week. The unfruitful don't possess healthy seed. They don't possess the fruit of the Spirit, and they don't share the gospel. There is no reproduction in their seed, no younger believers around, no people that they're actively discipling. Earlier, the house church is going through a reading plan, and we're reading through the Bible throughout the course of the year. And so this past week, we were reading through Joshua, and I'll pull it up because I thought it was just apt. So it was in Joshua, just the first chapter of Joshua. So Moses had just passed away, and they're kind of giving it like a dedication ceremony to Joshua, saying like, hey, the Lord has anointed you to lead the nation of Israel now. And so I read this verse, and I just thought to myself, how do you get there? So it's verse 16, 17. So they answer Joshua. Israel answers Joshua, everything you have commanded us, we will do. And everywhere you send us, we will go. We will obey you, just as we obeyed Moses in everything. If you recall the story of the history of Israel, they didn't obey Moses in almost anything. And yet in their minds, they're like, well, no, we'll obey Joshua just like we perfectly obeyed Moses, just as we obeyed Moses in everything. And so I think it's a call to self-awareness of where you truly are at with the Lord. There's a deceitfulness, like a quietness in the back of Israel's mind here that says, like, looking back, we obeyed, like, we obeyed, when in reality it was disobedience at every turn. And so I bring that up just to plead with you. Have an honest look at your life and look at your relationship as you abide in Christ. So that's the attached and unfruitful category. A pastor who is Well, he has a podcast, and so I say he online disciples me. He says often, if you want to know the root of your heart, look at the fruit of your life. Today, take time, like later today, now, whatever, take time to take an honest look at your life, to search for the fruit of your life, to determine which category you fall into. Are you unattached? Turn to Christ. Find satisfaction in Christ, that insatiable thirst that I know you have because I once had it. That thirst that you have can only be satisfied by the living water of Jesus Christ. I plead with you to repent of your sins and turn and follow after Jesus. He's worth giving up everything for, just absolutely everything for, just to be connected with him. Are you attached yet unfruitful? Turn and abide in Christ. Find satisfaction in him. Don't choose to let go of that connection that you have. Choose to hold tighter to the vine. Recommit your time to Jesus. Recommit to a prayer life, maybe that you used to have, but you don't have that anymore. Recommit to that time in prayer with the Lord. Recommit to that time with Jesus. Recommit to being in Scripture again. Create space in your life. Repent and create space in your life for Jesus. And then lastly, are you attached and fruitful? Continue to abide in Christ. Jesus is worth it. When life around you crumbles, Jesus remains a steady anchor. When grief, depression, anxiety comes your way, he is there to give you comfort, hope, peace, a peace that is unmeasurable. Jesus gives an eternal hope, right? He gives an eternal hope that is found in literally nothing else. Nothing else, no one else. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. So when Jesus says, get up, the dead are raised. And when he says to the sea, be still, the waves obey. When he says, when Jesus says, be healed, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the mute speak. No one's like Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd. He's the one who lays down his life for his sheep. Jesus is the great high priest, the one who pleads on our behalf in front of God Almighty. Jesus is the great I am. He is God himself who dwells with his people, is with his people. He is Emmanuel. Jesus is simultaneously the King of Kings and a humble servant. Who else is like this? What other God is like this? For those who cast your hope on him, Jesus sets you free so that you are no longer a slave to your sin, the sin that used to bind you, but through Jesus you have found freedom from your addiction or whatever that might be. You have seen that fruit of the Lord work in your life. Jesus is the resurrection and life. Anyone who believes in him will live even though he dies. One day, every knee will bow before Jesus. Every knee. Every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Jesus is the true vine, the untarnished connection between God the Father and you. Jesus has given us access to dwell eternally with God. So abide in Christ. Be with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you have made yourself known to us, that you have made yourself accessible to us. Jesus, would we have eyes to see who we are? Would you give us a mind that isn't swayed? Would you give us a real understanding of where we stand with you? If we need to repent and turn to you and become attached, like if I'm currently unattached, I want to be attached to you. Oh God, I want that. God, if I'm attached and yet unfruitful, would you show me? Would you show me what my heart really desires if it's not you? Jesus, I want to be known by you. I want to know you intimately. Would you lead me there? And Jesus, if I am attached, if I am fruitful, would you show me those places in my life where you want to prune me back? 70% prune me back, God. Prune back my time, my schedule. Prune back my calendar to make space for you, Lord. Prune back my relationships that don't honor you, Lord. God, would you prune back my heart, the evil desires within me? Lord, I desire to be with you and to dwell with you. God, would you give me a new passion for prayer, that I can speak with you, that you hear me, and that you speak back to me? God, would you give me a desire to just sit in silence with you? Allow me to just be quiet in front of you. Father, I praise you that you hear our prayers. Jesus, I praise you that you're the true vine. You're not a false hope, but that there can be true and profound joy in abiding in you, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you that you have made yourself known. I praise you for your life, that you chose the cross, that you willingly gave up your life like a lamb that was led to the slaughter. You gave up your life to make a sacrifice on my behalf, so that I could abide in you and belong to God the Father. Jesus, I love you. I thank you. I praise you. You're so good. You're just so good to me. Pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.